flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, you can go and pop over there right now if you want. The G-Bag Nation will be live from the Brass Tap in Rockwall. There are rumblings that Peyton will be there as well. If you want to go check out the G-Bag Nation, you should go, even if you don't like Peyton. Now.
Yeah, go harass him.
I do.
Is that? That's okay to say,
no,
right?
No, I don't feel like that is.
I didn't say sexually.
Yeah, verbally. Well, yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to go through what I think is a pretty stunning turn of events for one ranking of Sebastian Walcott. Now, we talked about how the Rangers had 3 prospects in the top 50, and MLB.com has them with 3 prospects in the top 50. I think it was Baseball America who had the Rangers with 3 prospects in the top 50. So does MLB.com, but they have it differently. Whereas Baseball America had it like 20 and 21 for Walcott and Rocker, MLB.com has Walcott 17, Rocker 44, and Alejandro Rosario, who we've talked about a couple times now, at number 50. And that's all fine and well, and we can talk about that more if you want.
I would just say for Rocker, we have a lot of expectations for him as Ranger fans, but what a job he did. From being like thrown off of every top 100 yes. list out of, you know, on Vanderbilt when he was coming out in the draft, he would have been on everybody's top 30 list of yes. Once he got drafted, we're throwing him way up on the board. But from what he's dealt with injury wise and not really being able to pitch for approximately 3 years until the end of last season, for him to do what he did and get into these top 50 prospect lists is pretty impressive from where he was a year ago on this date.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Now, I wanted to take you to somebody else because this really caught my attention. Do you know and or respect Keith Law?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So
he is the law.
He has Alejandro Rosario at 64 the prospect rankings. Fine and well, we can...
My son asked me about him, and I was like, I honestly have no clue about him.
Okay.
He's on the top 100 list. So I think for Ranger fans, they're like, give me more on him. I honestly have not asked. I have not watched. I don't know anything about him, except it's good news you have a pitcher in this thing.
So he had really rough runs in college with his ERA leading into the draft, but a whole bunch of people liked him, and one of the things they talked about was he had a splitter that he didn't really use. And Miami, the college, really focused on him working more on a sinker and his changeup. Well, guess what? The Rangers were like, let's throw the splitter more and go with a four-seamer. And boom, that has made all of the difference. Keith Law predicted, even as is, Rosario sitting at between 92 and 95. He has a plus splitter, an average slider. He could be a mid-rotation starter and get to the majors this year. So,
okay.
Mike,
encouraging.
The way things have gone is it feels like there was a time the shape was a little higher, and now it seems like the shapes of pitches are splitter. Everybody wants the splitter now to be part of their fastball splitter so they can stay low and away from guys.
Because so many guys throw hard these days.
Yeah.
A lot of times a curveball from a hard-throwing guy can at times, I don't want to say always, because think of Nolan Ryan, great curveball.
Yeah.
Dwight Gooden, a lot of players. But a lot of times that what they teach is now fastball, and they'll say cutter.
Fastball,
but
it's slider, splitters.
Yeah. Like a cutter should only be about 3 to 4 miles an hour. If we're defining the real definition of pitches,
yeah.
A cutter, if you're throwing 95, your cutter should be 90, 91.
Yeah.
A lot of times it'll be like 87, right? That's a slider. That's a hard slider. You can have slower sliders and harder sliders, but then they throw the slower sliders a sweeper, right? So they've redefined these terms and everything. But I do think for guys that throw very hard, they like throwing sliders at times more because you're not totally behind the ball. What I mean by that is a fastball, you're totally behind it. That's what keeps it as straight and as hard as possible. When you're throwing a slider, all you're doing is getting a little off center of the ball, and it's kind of coming off the inside part of your number one finger, and that makes the ball give a little bit of sideways spin. And that's easier for a hard thrower. Just throw the living pee out of it, mm-hmm. and it's going to move a little bit. We'll see how much it moves, and we'll say you throw a cutter or a slider or a sweeper somewhat based off of if I were just to grab a ball and say, get on the side of it, throw it, make it come off the inside of your finger. Now we'll define what you have off of that. So a lot of times, well, if I don't have anything going down like that, and you don't like throwing changeups because you just want to throw the pee out of everything, and everybody's saying just throw the pee out of everything, is, well, let's just split your fingers, grip the ball firmer, and then that ball should have pretty much downward action off of the same tunnel of your fastball, if that makes sense.
And that seems to have benefited him.
And you're going to kind of hear something variation of that. Kumar Rocker is 51st on the list. So quite a bit lower than Baseball America, even lower than MLB. But Keith Law does make reference to the rocky road that Kumar Rocker has had to go. However, the point was, when he came up to the majors last year, he looked as good as he has since his freshman year at Vanderbilt. And one of the reasons is he had lowered his arm slot, and it's back to its original position, which allows him to get more depth on his slider. His slider is easily plus and might be a 70 once again.
And remember this, I believe this, Rocker defines that pitch as a curveball.
Okay,
so for some reason, remember this last year we went over this?
Yeah.
Is like all of the websites, whether you go to Baseball Savant or they'll say a slider, but Rocker will tell you that's a curveball.
Because it does have a little more straight drop down action than it does away.
Right. And it can, and I forget which game he pitched at home and against who, but he didn't have a very good game. And that curveball that he defines as a curveball, and it became more sideways action.
Yeah.
He does not want a lot of sideways action from that. He wants more downward action than sideways action. When it gets sideways slider-ish definition, it becomes a very hittable pitch. So keep going. I just want to remind everybody that it's defined as a slider by all of these websites, but if you ask Rocker or Maddox, they'll say it's a curveball.
And it might get up to a 70 once again, and that's a 70 in scouting terms.
80's 100, which is weird.
Yeah, not in miles per hour, so obviously really high. Now, here's the person I really want to talk to because this is wild to me. So Sebastian Walcott, 17 for MLB.com. Baseball America, either 20 or 21. Keith Law, 2.
Holy cow.
Sebastian Walcott.
Yes, big hands. I shook it.
Is listed as the number 2 prospect in all of baseball behind only Roman Anthony. And I think MLB.com had Roman Anthony at 2nd behind only Roki Sasaki. And you might have arguments about how you think all of that works. But the point is, everybody agrees, or seems mostly everyone agrees, that Roman Anthony is really good. So Keith Law says Sebastian Walcott has jumped from 40th to 2nd on the list.
The backfields are going to be so much fun this year. Is he going to be on the backfields, or is he going to be on the fields?
I don't know if he got invited to camp or
not.
He did.
Okay. He did get invited to camp. I know another name that popped up that people were intrigued by is Jesse Chavez, who we've talked to
before.
I love
Jesse Chavez. He's a good dude.
But Sebastian Walcott will be there. And so I can go through whatever part that you guys want in this, but I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit. He was okay in high A, low A, but from then on, he cooked. 296, 351, and 511 slash until a late season promotion to double A. So on the whole, he ended the year with an on-base percentage 17 points above the Sally League average and a slugging percentage 78 points above it, and he was the youngest regular in the league. So you're like, you're above average to above average.
He's still 18 years old.
Yes. And he was, I think he might have just turned 19.
He turns 19 March 14th.
Oh, okay.
So in spring training,
hey,
he turns 19.
So
you could argue he's still a senior in high school.
That is unbelievable. And it goes on to say this, and you'll love the last part. Walcott is a shortstop now, and he's not bad there, but he's extremely likely to outgrow the position. He's going to be larger than Carlos Correa or Corey Seager, two bigger guys who defied expectations to remain at short. At worst, you've got, I see the birthday here now. At worst, you've got a right fielder who hits for average and power. He won't even turn 19 until the first week of March, so he has plenty of time to keep turning these immense physical gifts into baseball skills. I think he's underrated already, and he's my pick to be the number one prospect a year from now.
That's awesome news. I mean, it's just, it's expectations, it's potential.
For sure.
I've talked about him. I remember being at a Buffalo Wild Wings, and Michael Young wasn't there, but we interviewed Michael Young, and I wanted to bring him up because I know that he was, last year when we were in spring training, I went back to the backfields and had my phone, I believe, and you guys were doing, it was just fun to see everything, and Walcott was playing shortstop in, like, I'll say a big league scrimmage game, but Michael Young was in Jersey there and being a special assistant and helping out, and since Michael Young played all four infield positions, I wanted to ask him about Walcott because when you see him out there, he's a big kid. And then you watch him and he's like, he looks like he belongs out there. And that was last year at 17 years old. He was about to turn 18. So this year, when we're in spring training, we'll see him at 18 years old. And he's going to kind of look like he belongs. I'm not saying he's ready for the major leagues. There's a lot that goes into being ready for the major leagues.
His hand speed and contact rate are really high up there as well. Here's another blurb. He's got tremendous bat speed and already produces hard contact at a very high rate. So there's every reason to hope he can be a 30 homer guy with a high average, even if his strikeout rate remains in the 24-25%. And so they're like, I'm not even saying he just stops striking out. He still have a high strikeout rate, still have a good average, and hit for power.
Wow. So does Keith Law believe this? I'm just throwing.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This out here. Does he believe for the 2026 Texas Rangers, and I get we haven't even played a second of spring training yet this year. Does he believe it's going to be Langford in left, Carter in center, and Walcott in right for your 2026 outfield?
I would be willing to bet that.
I mean, I'm not saying that's good or bad. Garcia is a free agent after this year. So I think Garcia is going to have a very good year. I think Garcia is going to be a very wanted person. And I would be disappointed, to be honest. I get his age. But I would want the Rangers, if Garcia got back to 2023 Garcia, I would want to try to offer him a 2 or 3 year contract, and probably three is probably what his market's going to be at his age. And I don't know what the per year will be, but look, man, Alex Bregman's struggling to get a contract from, you know, he wanted a long-term contract. It ain't happening. Like when you're 30 years old, teams are now getting very, I don't know about doing a 6 or 7 year deal. That could really hurt us long-term. And then if that happens, Garcia does have the ability as now to play shortstop, or he is 6'4". I'm not saying this is perfect for a kid who's as athletic.
Walcott.
Okay. What did I say wrong?
Say Garcia.
Garcia, sorry. Walcott is, you could put him at first base. If that's the position that's open, I'm not saying that you should. I'm just saying if that's the position in the future that's open.
You need to get that bat in the lineup, and that's the only way to do it. Makes sense.
The good thing is when you do have a very athletic prospect, you can move them around to different positions and feel like they're going to get it.
And I just want to take a step back if you're curious about his journey. We're just talking about 2 years removed from him being signed out of the Bahamas. He got signed for $3.2 million, and some scouts said they think he could be the best player ever from that nation.
My God.
Who is the best player from that nation?
Okay.
I have no clue. I'm asking that as a question.
I am actually not sure.
If he ends up being the best player, like if you were to say he's going to be the best Dominican, I would be like, better than Roberto Clemente. Roberto's Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I already screwed that one up. But, you know, better than, I don't even know if you consider Albert Pujols.
Adrian Beltre.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's the best. I have no clue who's the best because there's some like really talented players.
From the Bahamas, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. Jazz Chisholm is somebody that I know who plays right now that immediately jumps to mind.
Yeah, could he be better than Tim Duncan?
Do you know Tim Duncan?
I think I've told this before. Tim Duncan came to one of my rookie ball games in A-ball in Burlington, North Carolina, because one of my teammates was Sean DePaula, who was from Wake Forest, and they were friends at Wake Forest. So Tim Duncan, as he was still at Wake Forest at the time, showed up to Burlington, North Carolina to watch a rookie ball game. To watch me pitch.
How did you pitch that day?
Probably awesome. Mm-hmm. Go look up my numbers in Burlington, North Carolina. I kicked butt and took names.
Okay.
It was just the major leagues that I stunk at.
We're the Kansas masterpiece.
What happened to you, Mike?
Right
Major
here.
Major leaguers happened to me.
105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we got Mike Likes It. We've got that Billy Idol and Joan Jett ticket giveaway. Plus, Stephen Jones says the Cowboys are going to take a long, hard look at how they do free agency. What do they need to change? Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. So, what do you think is the weirdest first name for a baseball player ever? I will let you ponder that, but also we're going to get to the Corey Majors research project, because yesterday we're going to go to cut number 9. Stephen Jones talked about the Dallas Cowboys and how they usually do free agency.
Certainly we'll do a real deep dive on putting some personnel together, whether it be through the draft, free agency. I know, you know, typically that's not been the way we've done this team, but we'll certainly look at it and, you know, put really good, not only players, but good football character people with some of the men we have in this room right now. And we have a lot of great players on this team. And certainly no one has excuses. We had a few challenges this year on the injury front, and that's why we think we do need to keep some continuity.
All right, so believe it or not, they kept talking for 30 minutes after that presser was over. And he went on to kind of cut right more to the chase of, look, we'll take an examination of the way that we do free agency. So, Corey, you decided to do some of the legwork, jump ahead, and do an examination for the Cowboys. What can you tell us? What have you learned?
All right. Let me ask a question first.
Okay.
What is, and I want everybody out there to think about this, what is your problem with the way the Cowboys approach free agency? My problem has always been that they've always tried to find a gem out of the designer bin at the Goodwill.
Okay.
You know, they're like, hey, we're going to go in here and we're going to, every once in a while, they'll get a guy who's past his prime and might give you three good games. And it just seems like the talent level is low. Now, I didn't go into this looking for information to prove that the talent's low. I went into it thinking that already and then let the information tell me this story. So I have about 2.5 pages of information to dive into.
Okay, and I just want to start by saying I think I'm probably the same spot as you are. I think they inflate their own draft statistics by signing their own players to sometimes not really market representative contracts. And then they make this continued argument that they don't need free agency because of that. When I'm like, that's a flawed argument from the jump.
What's my biggest issue with the Cowboys and free agency?
Yes.
Yeah, they're two people that are most in charge, Jerry and Steven, are partying and not watching who is a free agent, what do they do. So the two decision makers have no clue who is a free agent and what they actually do or don't do.
Yeah,
so
they're reliant on somebody else.
What other team has that set up in all of professional sports?
Yeah. So I went back to 2019. I could have gone back further with this, but I decided 5-year window. Is that 5 years, Kevin? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. That sounds good.
Six?
Yeah, okay. Sounds good to me. Since 2019... the Cowboys have signed 37 returning free agents.
Okay.
And 27 new free agents. I think one of those numbers might be off by like one.
Okay.
13 of those were duplicate. Like Dak signed his franchise tag and then the next year signed his contract.
Oh, okay.
So those 13 of those were duplicates. So essentially like 51 different players, specific different players. 2020 was the best. They signed 17 total new and 2019 and 2024 both tied for the lowest. By the way, 2020, really good season. 2019, 2024, they only signed 7 each in those off seasons.
Okay.
Those are the bookend seasons for Mike McCarthy, right? That both turned out to be poor seasons for them. 2020 and 2021, they added the most new free agents, 6 and 9 respectively.
Oh.
So they added 15 there. The other 3 years, they added 12 total.
Yikes. So low.
The total number of players who had at least one Pro Bowl, these are new players to the team that had at least one Pro Bowl before they were signed. 9 out of the 27.
So maybe 1 out of 3.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound great.
The total number of players who had at least one All-Pro out of that 27, 6.
Okay.
The total number of new players with Pro Bowl in the season that they signed, 1. Brian Anger.
So,
the total number of players with an All-Pro the season they signed,
1.
Brian Anger.
So again, not to dismiss special teams, that's obviously a huge part of the game. But if that's where you excel, kind of, not only, but mostly, that's probably not a winning formula.
Of the players that they signed that have had multiple All-Pros, Gerald McCoy had 6. He never saw the field for the Cowboys. Dontari Poe had 2, and I believe he played like 3 games for the Cowboys.
Okay.
Jake McQuaid had 2 All-Pros, or Pro Bowls, and Brian Anger. Those were the 4 players that had at least one Pro Bowl or more than one Pro Bowl. And only Gerald McCoy and Brian Anger had multiple All-Pros. So what you're seeing there is you're signing guys who aren't often very good.
Yeah.
You're signing guys who you're hoping that you got a diamond out of this, that somebody else didn't see it. Of the old re-signings for the Cowboys, 7 were returning pro of the returners were Pro Bowlers, and 3 had all pros. Amari Cooper, Dak Prescott, Sean Lee, LP, DeMarcus Lawrence, LVE, and again, Brian Anger, because he was the only players to have earned a Pro Bowl in the year that they signed, and this is from the returning players, Brian Anger and LP Lattisaur.
So again, special teams.
The year that you signed them, Dak Prescott was not an All-Pro or a Pro Bowler.
Right.
The year that you signed him, Amari Cooper, not All-Pro, or Sean Lee, the same, all the way down the list. And then to the last part. Here's where, Kevin, the money part comes in.
Is this the part that's going to drive people crazy?
I did some numbers here. The games started total like 2,369. Games, 1,032. Yeah, games started, 132. On average, for new players that they sign to their team, you get 6 starts. On average, you get 6 starts out of players that they have signed from other teams, which means most of them don't even make it into the season, like George Ioka.
Yeah.
Most of them don't even, like Ronald Jones. Some of these, Royce Freeman, they don't even make it to the field. Therefore, you got them, and they never even made it. So you didn't even get average 6 starts. The older players average 23 starts. So they're getting theirs worth. Now here's, Kevin, where I think that you might have the biggest problem. What do you think, on average, new players are paid in their yearly contracts? On average.
I know it's low, but I'm still going to say like $3.5 million.
Keep going down.
$2.5 million?
Keep going down.
You're kidding me.
You can go down a quarter more.
Is it like working at Chick-fil-A? $15 an hour?
$2.25 million is on average what the Cowboys pay.
No, that is not the same.
And I will add,
people are running to Chick-fil-A for
hell yeah. See you, Spittle. I'm going to get $2.25 million in Chick-fil-A.
I will add, I believe Randall Cobb made 5. And then Gerald McCoy had 6 million on his slate. So that took the number up. Most of them look like 1s.
Wow.
So the Cowboys, again, they're spending about $2.25 million on free agents. So that's where I'm trying to figure out, is that the right budget? And I can't say in each year, it looks like they're spending about 6. And then in that 1 year, they spent almost 9. They spent almost $12 million for that 1 year. Obviously, there are other years on the contract, but average year.
Sure.
And so
that's so low.
The number's low. Now, they'll tell you, hey, we pay out all the, because they're paying their other players first. Well, I get that.
And plus, I also argue against that because you've seen the 5-year thing where they're actually one of the lowest cash flow teams because they have so much dead money.
Yeah. So what I found out was, the Cowboys just looking at the names, here's some names that I'm going to throw out there. Tavon Austin.
Okay.
Jamiz Oluwole. Cam Fleming. Christian Covington. Kerry Hyder. George Ioka. Ha-ha Clinton Dix.
Hey.
Maurice Kanaday. Blake Bell. Greg Zuerlein. Terrell Basham. Carlos Watkins. Tynus. None of these guys worked out. And I know that You're supposed to take a risk every once in a while. You're supposed to try and, you want to find a balance there. And you don't want to spend and lose a lot. But go get some Pro Bowlers. Go get some all pros to add to your team. Go get some real talent. Not just people that are going to fill in for $1 million because you have to fill out the roster spot. So for me, Kevin, if Steven's going to take a long, hard look at it, I need you, my capist.
Yeah.
Or capitalist, if you
yes.
will. I need you to help me figure out why my structure is so top heavy that I can't get Pro Bowlers or all pros whenever they go into free agency.
So here's a great example. Man, those numbers, though, are. You said you did a study. I wish you would have put like a trigger warning ahead of this.
It did trigger you, huh?
So I would have known like $2.5 million, ridiculous. All right. Here's one of the issues that you run into. All right, $2.5 million. We feel like it's preposterously low.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you think was the cap hit of Derrick Henry this year?
Three?
$5 million.
$5 million.
Saquon, $3.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
And we all agree, they both made monumental impacts. Saquon Barkley.
I'd say they're both worth $34 million because I'd say they're worth $2 million a game.
Yeah.
If I'm giving the value of what they gave to your team, but the same with Micah Parsons. Every time he plays a game, he's worth $2 to $3 million a game.
Now, I'm glad that you said that. We're going to get to Micah Parsons in just one second. Saquon Barkley might be the reason that you win the Super Bowl. In fact, I would dare say if they win the Super Bowl next week, it's probably because of Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
And I know what people are going to say. Well, you have to pay the cost down the road. Okay, well, let's take a look. The insurmountable cap hit for Derrick Henry next year is $13 million. Oh, my goodness. Oh, how could you ever survive such a cap hit? Well, what if you just cut him? Well, guess what? If you just went ahead and cut him, you know what his cap hit would be? $4 million. $4 million would be your hit, which essentially means you signed Derrick Henry for 1 year and $9 million. Works for me. Now let's go to Saquon Barkley. And this is the one that annoys people. When people are like, how do the Eagles keep signing people? This is exactly how they do it. All right, the cap hit for Saquon Barkley this year, $3.8 million. All right, so pretty low. Next year, they're going to be in trouble, though. $6.5 million.
Wow, then like $10 million total.
Yes, for 2 years. Next year, they are screwed. $9.8 million.
Should be like 40, I think, right?
So I don't think it's insane. This might not happen. I don't think it's insane to think that Rico Dowdle could potentially get a three-year, $20 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Eagles gave Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
But then, when's it going to hit? It's going to hit them in 2027. Because the dead money they have then, I will absolutely concede, is $19 million. And that's going to be problematic. Except, of course, by the time you get there, they will have layered other contracts to have low hits in 25 and 26 and 27. So you can reallocate that money. And you might be like, that's great for other teams. What does that mean for the Cowboys? All right, now let's hit the Cowboys. And the comp that I use for Micah Parsons is Chris Jones.
Okay.
We all agree Chris Jones is a phenomenal defensive player who made a lot of money.
He is fantastic.
He got a five.
As a matter of fact, we'll talk about him in the C block.
Okay, great. He got a five-year, $158.75 million contract. So almost, not quite, but almost $32 million a year. I think it's safe to assume that Micah will get more than that. But Micah was also quick to say, life sounds a lot better getting paid $35 million than getting paid $40 million and getting double-teamed every single time. All right. So let's take a look.
Which his agent had to have hated that.
Exactly.
He's like, I got the Joneses here. What are you doing?
Don't worry. They'll collapse.
And Micah Parsons is even more of an advantageous situation because his cap hit next year, and he's still on his rookie deal, and you're going to hit the club option next year. It's $24 million. Now, this is why if the Cowboys were sure they were going to bring Micah back and Micah wanted to talk, his agency might not have wanted to talk. They're like, we're going to wait another year. I don't know that. I wish they would have done it a year sooner because then you could have added money to his cap hit this year, which was $5.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
And because the reason why I bring this up, you know what Chris Jones' cap hit is this year? $7.3 million. Because you can load that contract and spread the money out however you like. Do you know the cap hits from there for Chris? 34.8, 41, 34.3, and 41. I will agree. Those are all steep cap hits. Do you know what the dead money is at the end of that? Nothing. So when they think that he'll be done, he'll be out. If they think he's going to be done in 2026, guess what? There's a lot of guaranteed money in the first 3 years of the deal. They want to bail after 2026. Dead cap hit, $12 million. You want to post June 1st that? $6 million apiece. So when people get caught up saying Micah's going to cost $40 million, for Chris Jones, for the next 3 years, he costs $84 million. Now you're only talking about a $28 million a year hit. I just saved you $12 million a year with limited damage on the backside of the salary cap.
I really appreciate that, Kevin. Thank you for saving me that $12 million. I'm going to roll that over next year because I got to sign one of my guys next year.
And you,
that's what we get.
Yeah.
Is you have this money for this year that you can spend on a couple free agents that might actually help this team, that it might be starters for your team. So you're not rolling out backup defensive ends. You're not rolling out backup linebackers. You can actually roll out there somebody who's started in the league and understands how to play in this league and is ready to go from game one. I understand, though, they do like to draft and develop. That is their philosophy. But Stephen Jones said we're going to take a long, hard look at the way we do free agency.
And here's one of the things they can't get out of, because I see people are asking, what's Dak's cap hit? We've been through this a couple of times. But just remember, when you talk about Dak Prescott getting $60 million a year, there is no year of his contract coming up in which he will make as little as $60 million. I might have blown some people's minds right there. And yes, I did say as little as. Here are his cap hits. $89.9 million, $67.8 million, $61.7 million, and $71.7 million. And that takes him all the way through the time that he'll be about to be 36. Do you want to restructure that deal coming up next year? They're going to. So they're going to drop his cap hit by, I don't know, probably like $30 million, give or take. Where's that $30 million going to go? It's going to go to 26 and 27 and 28 and maybe beyond, when he's definitely not going to be the starting quarterback of this team. How do I know that?
Sounds like Shoddy's got a good chance to succeed here.
And that's what I hate about the way they do contracts. I know they're going to do this because that is literally what they just did.
And they're going to use
Dak Prescott's contract.
They're going to use that money that they save on Dak to pay Micah?
No, I mean,
not to go get other free agents?
Kind of, because right now they're essentially at zero with their salary cap. And here's the frustrating part when you talk about, well, let's use the money to go get our own people. You could use that $30 million to add to your salary cap. I just told you, Micah Parsons' cap hit for next year is $24 million. I could drop it to 10 to 12 like that. Mm-hmm. So I just saved you another $10 to $12 million. That's $40 to $42 million that I have already saved you. And I realize you could be putting yourself in a crap situation in 26, 27, 28. But I'm going to give Schottenheimer the ammunition. If you think you're close, and that whole press conference was about 30 minutes of people saying, we're right by the rim.
Right there.
All these other people told me how close they are. All right, put your money where your mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
Take that $40-plus million and go get people to dunk the freaking ball.
Exactly. And Kevin, what I
like how we always do football, and they're like, well, he's going to be on a pitch count this Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, why can't you just say a snap count?
I don't know.
We're around the rim. How about we're near the goal line?
You're playing
your own sport. Stop using other sports.
It's buzzwords.
By the way, just real quick, this is a great question. I'm sorry, Corey. The 903, how is the cap hit different than they make? So keep in mind.
Oh, man.
So like, and we won't go too far into the weeds on this, but when you hear Dak Prescott got 4 years for $240 million, that's simple, $60 million a year. But realistically, he got $212 million like guaranteed. And you can spread that signing bonus out and that guaranteed money kind of how you see fit. Not exactly, but kind of. So you can manipulate the numbers however you want. And so Dak can flip a switch in his contract where he's like, hey, all this money, boom, that's now a signing bonus all of a sudden. You're like, guess what? I can now spread that money out across the contract again.
So this part of it is, that's the beginning. The next phase, I would say, is now Steven and your group go over the last 5 years and see all the free agents that you didn't sign that you could have spent $6 million on instead of two, and see how much better, go check them out and see the ones that you were interested in that were maybe too expensive and how they did. Because they could have had a Von Miller injury. That's fine. But you need to do that research and you need to have that information so you can say, holy crap, we've been missing on a lot of talent.
That is a great point.
We're doing it right.
I don't want to make it sound like every free agent is Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
That's not realistic. It just so happens that this year we're in happened to have two really great examples. But
just happen to be running backs.
Yes.
It could have been linebackers or safeties or whatever.
And we have talked to Steven about this for people asking. We've talked to Jerry about this, and they have essentially told us we do not want to put our future years of the cap in that peril. So whenever you ask, why don't the people in charge do it like this? We asked. They said, we don't want to do it like that. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Sorry, Mike. I know we cut into your time for Mike.
It is now
he's
official.
He's going to be ticked off.
Matt Eberflus is now signed as the Cowboys defensive coordinator.
That's shocking.
I don't think you're shocked at all by that.
I'll tell you what. I don't know if you could have had a riskier hire than that. In fact, I would say that's the riskiest thing Jerry's ever done in the last 5 years.
On Thanksgiving, late in the game, it could be.
Okay.
I mean, you know what would be riskier? If you didn't pick up the phone right now.
Oh, my God.
Because it's time.
Let's get something away!
877-881-1053. Caller number 10.
Free agents.
Will win a pair of tickets to see Billy Idol and Joan Jett on May 7th at Dickies Arena in Fort Worth. Doing this giveaway all week long in the noon. 877-881-1053. Now, Mike likes it.
Okay. You cut into Mike likes
I'm
it.
I'm sorry.
And I can't believe you did. Because we're going to start off Mike Likes It with something that you might like, Kevin.
Oh, wrestling!
A little audio here, Alec.
Uso! Hey, hey, main event Jey Uso is now in your city! Yahoo! It's just me, Uso! Okay, day one, it's just me, Uso!
Okay, so this is Jey Uso. Am I saying
correct.
That right? All right, so I call him the Yeeter.
Yeet.
I mean, that is what he says a lot.
Okay, so I want this yeet. For...
yeet does not mean throwing something across the room.
It absolutely does.
Necessarily.
It absolutely
it
does.
Could.
I'm going to yeet it. I'm going to yeet it over there.
That's not the only... Okay.
We've done this before. It's not... You just do your hands up and down with the kicker that talks wrestling.
That is Pat McAfee, and that is also not necessarily... Never mind. Go ahead.
All right. If you're on YouTube, stop talking about whatever you're talking about and start talking about this. Has Netflix influenced you guys at all? It's only been 3 weeks, I believe, of Netflix so far. Three episodes?
I think it's four.
Four. Okay. Yesterday was the fourth episode. I am watching more of Raw. I guess that's why I'm not seeing LA Knight because he's on Friday night. Okay, so I didn't know all this. That some wrestlers can't wrestle on Monday because they're wusses or something.
Okay, just keep going.
But has Netflix influenced you guys at all in watching more wrestling? Because it has with me because it's easy to fast forward.
Yeah.
It's easy to maybe rewind and see a guy almost die last night by popping his head on a table.
That JD McDonough thing was scary. That question, I think, is for other people. Okay. For me, not really, just
right.
because.
I know, you and Alec, this is not a good question.
Yes.
But for somebody like me, it has influenced me watching a little more wrestling.
And can I just give you an example? They said year over year, that debut on Netflix was up 100% audience size. And then the next.
You said year over year?
Yeah, like the date last year.
Okay.
Kind of to
oh,
the
okay,
time.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
And then the next week, when it took the natural dip, I think the programming was still up like 40% from where it had been. So it's making a difference.
Okay. So this Yeeter guy, Jey Uso, he has to be horrible at wrestling, right? Because they do this for 15 minutes. So what I'm noticing about trying to kind of get back into wrestling a little bit is last night you had to fast forward 33 minutes into Netflix to get to wrestling. Now, I did watch some of it. They obviously, it wasn't Yeeter who was out there.
Get to see Sami Zayn, Drew McIntyre.
You cannot eat what has already been yoded, by the
way.
But
it was like, burn this down.
That's Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins. And then they brought out Gunther.
Yes.
And then they brought out somebody else. Oh, they brought out, they booed him like crazy.
Drew McIntyre.
No, the YouTube dude.
Oh, Jake Paul?
Jake Paul. And
Logan
so,
Paul. I'm sorry.
Logan
yes.
Paul. Yeah.
Sorry.
Logan Paul.
Alex is about to disown this show. Logan
but
Paul.
This guy, they, every episode, I mean, you go to Netflix and the four episodes, it's four for four now.
Yeah.
They do, and I might be exaggerating here, 12 straight minutes of nothing happening but the people doing their hands up and down. And I'm like, this guy has to be horrible at wrestling. He never wrestles, but he does come out and the crowd goes insane.
They love him. Yeah.
For this, just doing your hands up and down, and Pat McAfee's honestly the leader of it.
Sure. He'll get up on the desk and do it.
And so I'm just like, so I have to watch 12 more minutes of this yeet thing? Like, either wrestle or don't wrestle.
So I think you're actually in the minority on this, Mike, because usually, I get what you're saying. Like, you must not be good at wrestling because you talk a lot.
Yeah, and and all you want to do is yeet people with your hands.
And I hear what you're saying. I might have some thoughts about Jey Uso. We'll get to in a second. But That is a pretty time-honored Monday Night Raw tradition of you get the 20-minute promo from some or one of the main event people. And so that shows you that they hold him in high esteem. Right. Personally, I think Jey Uso spams super kicks a lot and maybe doesn't have the most impressive wrestling arsenal. I'm not a huge Jey Uso guy. I love the tag team.
Saturday.
But I'm not a huge Jey Uso as a single guy.
Okay, so moving on from that, but keeping that, what is one of the things that's the coolest thing in all of professional wrestling, and maybe in, since it's entertainment sports, is the song that they come out to?
Sure.
Kind of like our intro song for our show.
We try to do that in baseball. I'm not saying with every hitter, that's a little bit tough, but we try to do that with your closer and maybe even your setup guy. Those are two guys coming into the game with the game on the line to try to win. And everybody is told, Chuck Morgan, not saying he's the leader of this, but he gets the information. They're like, pick a song that you like and we'll play it. When you come out of the bullpen, that will be the song that is played in between innings because you're coming out and we'll put a highlight package up on the big screen. Well, for the most part, for most of them, obviously Edwin Diaz is very different in New York. That's for the Mets. Awesome. It goes insane, yes, like a wrestling event. Here's my plea, and you guys tell me this is stupid or wrong, and maybe it costs too much money and you guys don't know the money thing, but why don't the Texas Rangers get like their top five bullpen guys that they know are going to be on the team? And they sit down with the guys in spring training and they create beats and they create a song for them. Now, they can take it on to other teams when they leave because we're going to create...
Like an original song?
Like how Stone Cold Steve Austin is busting through the glass. Everybody knows what that is.
You need to go hire Jim Johnston.
I'm just saying, a lot of those songs. The Yeet song's not a real song, right? It's just made for the Yeet guy, or is that a real song?
I believe that is correct.
The Rock Says is one of my favorites.
I know CM Punk has a popular song.
Yes, from In Living Color.
That's how every reliever comes out to just a song that they've decided to pick. What if the Texas Rangers, if you're listening, Chuck Morgan, he listens quite a bit. If you're listening, why not become the most creative team and you come up with something that is just, it hits, but it's unique, and you know that that's that guy's song. It's a unique song to them, and I don't know how to do it, and it'd probably take way too much time and way too much money, and then guys don't stay on the team very long, especially relievers, right? I did this whole thing for Kirby Yates and David Robertson, and it lasted 45 times. So I get that it's probably not worth the time and energy, but the one thing I notice in wrestling is when it is a popular wrestler and they come out to their own theme, the place goes insane.
Look, you could make an argument, and Alec, maybe this is a different segment for a different day. The Ultimate Warrior immediately jumps to my mind that you could make an argument a huge part of their popularity is specifically the intro song and how fired up it got people.
There's that, and then current guys like the New Day as well, even though they're super over right now because of the heel gimmick. But, like, you know, they have their own custom song, like Mike is talking about, where it's introed by Big E, one of the former members now. Like, there's...
Oh, Dallas!
Exactly. Like, the lead into this stuff, Seth Rollins' song. I was just there this past Monday and hearing all of that stuff, seeing all the arms going up and down when Jey Uso comes out of the crowd. Like, there's something special and something, you know, really some flowers to be given for the whole idea of let's make something... So let's make something unique.
Can you imagine if, and I have no clue who the closer is going to be this year, so it's not a good one to be.
Neither do the Rangers.
Right. But if you had a good, let's just say you had Mason Miller, you had Emmanuel Clase or somebody like that. Can you imagine if the place did that Yeet thing for 2 minutes
and
going into the ninth?
There's
a 1-3 run lead and the whole crowd stands up and just starts yeeting. That's what I'm calling it.
Yeah.
Because they're all yelling Yeet and their hands are going up. The place goes insane.
Yeah.
And somehow you can get wrestling fans to do it for 10 straight minutes. And I'm like, somebody wrestle or talk. And they're like, we don't care about that. And the fans here don't care about that. But I'm just thinking, how could we get the Rangers
in
the eighth and ninth inning to have some sort of Yeet situation when their studs are coming in to win a game?
Here's my suggestion. We'll load up some wrestling theme songs that were produced strictly for wrestling just as a starting point. and play it for various bullpen members and be like, hey, do you have a preference? Like, and we can kind of get an idea of where our starting point is and go from there.
Spring training.
Absolutely.
I'll see if my kid wants to make some beats for him.
So in on
that. Hey, what do you think about these?
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it is indeed time for the C Block starring Corey Major.
Why is Chris Jones so difficult to stop? We discuss next.